Chapter 4. The Plotters. Danglars followed Edmund and Mercedes with his eyes until the two lovers disappeared behind one of the angles of Fort Saint-Nicolas. Then, turning round, he perceived Fernand, who had fallen pale and trembling into his chair, whilst Caderousse stammered out the words of a drinking song.
"Well, my dear sir," said Danglars to Fernand, "here is a marriage which does not appear to make everybody happy."
"It drives me to despair," said Fernand.
"Do you, then, love Mercedes?"
"I adore her."
"Have you loved her long?"
"Ever since I have known her."
"And you sit there, tearing your hair, instead of seeking to remedy your condition?
I did not think it was thus your nation acted." "What would you have me do?" said Fernand.
"How do I know? Is it my affair? I am not in love with Mademoiselle Mercedes, but for you, seek and you shall find."
"I have found already."
"What?"
"I would stab the man, but the woman told me that if any misfortune happened to her betrothed, she would kill herself."
"Pooh, women say those things, but never do them."
"You do not know Mercedes. What she threatens, she will do."
"Idiot," muttered Danglars. "Whether she kills herself or not, what matter, provided Dantès is not captain?"
"Before Mercedes should die," replied Fernand, with the accents of unshaken resolution, "I would die myself."
"That's what I call love," said Caderousse, with a voice more tipsy than ever. "That's love, or I don't know what love is."
"Come," said Danglars,
"you appear to me a good sort of fellow, and hang me, but I should like to help you, but—"
"Yes," said Caderousse, "but how?"
"My dear fellow," replied Danglars, "you are three parts drunk. Finish the bottle and you will be completely so. Drink, then, and do not meddle with what we are discussing, for that requires all one's wit and cool judgment."
"I? Drunk?" said Caderousse. "Well, that's a good one. I could drink four more such bottles. They are no bigger than eau de cologne flasks. Père Pomphile, more wine!"
And Caderousse rattled his glass upon the table.
"You were saying, sir," said Fernand,
awaiting with great anxiety the end of this interrupted remark.
"What was I saying? I forget. This drunken Caderousse has made me lose the thread of my thoughts."
"Drunk, if you like. So much the worse for those who fear wine, for it is because they have some bad thoughts which they are afraid the liquor will extract from their hearts."
And Caderousse began to sing the two last lines of a song very popular at the time.
"Tous les méchants sont beveux d'eau, c'est bien prouvé par le déluge."
"You said, sir, you would like to help me, but—"
"Yes, but I added, to help you, it would be sufficient that Dantès did not marry her you love, and the marriage may easily be thwarted, methinks, and yet Dantès need not die."
"Death alone can separate them," remarked Fernand.
"You talk like a noodle, my friend," said Caderousse. "And here is Danglars, who is a wide-awake, clever, deep fellow, who will prove to you that you were wrong. Prove it, Danglars. I've answered for you. Say there is no need why Dantès should die. It would indeed be a pity he should. Dantès is a good fellow. I like Dantès."
"Dantès, your health!"
Fernand rose impatiently.
"Let him run on," said Danglars, restraining the young man. "Drunk as he is not much out in what he says. Absence severs as well as death. And if the walls of a prison were between Edmund and Mercedes, they would be as effectually separated as if they lay under a tombstone."
"Yes, only people get out of prison," said Caderousse,
who, with what sense was left him, listened eagerly to the conversation.
"And when they get out, and their names are Edmund Dantès, they revenge."
"What matters that?" muttered Fernand.
"And why, I should like to know," persisted Caderousse, "should they put Dantès in prison? He has neither robbed, nor killed, nor murdered."
"Hold your tongue," said Danglars.
"I won't hold my tongue," replied Caderousse. "I say I want to know why they should put Dantès in prison. I like Dantès. Dantès, your health."
And he swallowed another glass of wine. Danglars saw in the muddled look of the tailor the progress of his intoxication, and turning towards Fernand said, "Well, you understand there is no need to kill him."
"Certainly not, if, as you said just now, you have the means of having Dantès arrested. Have you that means?"
"It is to be found for the searching. But why should I meddle in the matter? It is no affair of mine."
"I know not why you meddle," said Fernand, seizing his arm. "But this I know. You have some motive of personal hatred against Dantès. For he who himself hates is never mistaken in the sentiments of others."
"Aye, motives of hatred against Dantès? None, on my word. I saw you were unhappy, and your unhappiness interested me, that's all. But the moment you believe I act for my own account, adieu, my dear friend. Get out of the affair as best you may."
And Danglars rose as if he meant to depart.
"No, no," said Fernand, restraining him. "Stay! It is of very little consequence to me in the long run whether you have any angry feelings or not against Dantès. I hate him. I confess it openly. Do you find the means? I will execute it, provided it is not to kill the man, for Mercedes has declared she will kill herself if Dantès is killed."
Caderousse, who had let his head drop on the table, now raised it, and looking at Fernand with his dull and fishy eyes, he said,
"Kill Dantès? Who talks of killing Dantès? I won't have him killed. I won't. He's my friend, and this morning offered to share his money with me as I share mine with him. I won't have Dantès killed. I won't."
"And who has said a word about killing him, muddlehead?" replied Danglars. "We were merely joking. Drink to his health," he added, filling Caderousse's glass, "and do not interfere with us."
"Yes, yes, Dantès, good health," said Caderousse, emptying his glass. "Here's to his health. His health. Hurrah!"
"But the means," said Fernand.
"Have you not hit upon any?"
"No, you undertook to do so."
"True," replied Danglars.
"The French have the superiority over the Spaniards that the Spaniards ruminate, whilst the French invent." "Do you invent, then?" said Fernand, impatiently.
"Waiter," said Danglars. "Pen, ink, and paper."
"Pen, ink, and paper," muttered Fernand.
"Yes, I am a supercargo. Pen, ink, and paper are my tools, and without my tools I'm fit for nothing."
"Pen, ink, and paper," then called Fernand loudly.
"All you require is a table,"
said the waiter, pointing to the writing materials.
"Bring them here."
The waiter did as he was desired.
"When one thinks," said Caderousse, letting his hand drop on the paper, "there is here wherewithal to kill a man more sure than if he waited at the corner of a wood to assassinate him. I've always had more dread of a pen, a bottle of ink, and a sheet of paper than of a sword or pistol."
"The fellow is not so drunk as he appears to be," said Danglars. "Give him some more wine, Fernand."
Fernand filled Caderousse's glass, who, toper as he was, lifted his hand from the paper and seized the glass. The Catalan watched him until Caderousse, almost overcome by this fresh assault on his senses, rested, or rather allowed his glass to fall upon the table.
"Well,"
resumed the Catalan, as he saw the final glimmer of Caderousse's reason vanishing before the last glass of wine.
"Well, then, I should say, for instance," resumed Danglars, "that if, after a voyage such as Dantès has just made, and in which he touched the Isle of Elba, someone were to denounce him to the King's procureur as a Bonapartist agent—"
"I will denounce him,"
exclaimed the young man hastily.
"Yes, but they will make you then sign your declaration and confront you with him you have denounced. I will supply you with a means of supporting your accusation, for I know the fact well. But Dantès cannot remain forever in prison, and one day or other he will leave it, and the day when he comes out, woe betide him who was the cause of his incarceration."
"Oh, I should wish nothing better than that he would come and seek a quarrel with me."
"Yes, and Mercedes. Mercedes, who will detest you if you have only the misfortune to scratch the skin of her dearly beloved Edmund."
"True," said Fernand.
"No, no," continued Danglars. "If we resolve on such a step,
It would be much better to take, as I now do, this pen, dip it into this ink, and write with the left hand, that the writing may not be recognised, the denunciation we propose." And Danglars, uniting practice with theory, wrote with his left hand, and in a writing reversed from his usual style, and totally unlike it, the following lines which he handed to Fernand, and which Fernand read in an undertone. "Monsieur, the Procureur du Roi is informed by a friend of the throne and religion that one Edmond Dantès, mate of the ship Pharion, arrived this morning from Smyrna, after having touched at Naples and Porto Ferrajo, has been entrusted by Murat with a letter for the usurper, and by the usurper with a letter for the Bonapartist committee in Paris. Proof of this crime will be found on arresting him, for the letter will be found upon him, or at his father's, or in his cabin on board the Pharion."
"Very good," resumed Danglars. "Now your revenge looks like common sense, for in no way can it revert to yourself, and the matter will thus work its own way. There is nothing to do now but fold the letter, as I am doing, and write upon it to Monsieur le Procureur Royal. And that's all settled."
And Danglars wrote the address as he spoke.
"Yes, and that's all settled," exclaimed Caderousse,
who by a last effort of intellect had followed the reading of the letter, and instinctively comprehended all the misery which such a denunciation must entail.
"Yes, and that's all settled. Only it will be an infamous shame."
And he stretched out his hand to reach the letter. "Yes," said Danglars, taking it from beyond his reach.
"And as what I say and do is merely in jest, and I amongst the first and foremost should be sorry if anything happened to Dantès, the worthy Dantès, look here."
And taking the letter, he squeezed it up in his hands and threw it into a corner of the arbour.
"All right," said Caderousse. "Dantès is my friend, and I won't have him ill-used."
"And who thinks of using him ill?"
"Certainly neither I nor Fernand," said Danglars, rising and looking at the young man, who still remained seated, but whose eye was fixed on the denunciatory sheet of paper flung into the corner.
"In this case," replied Caderousse, "let's have some more wine. I wish to drink to the health of Edmund and the lovely Mercedes."
"You have had too much already, drunkard," said Danglars. "And if you continue, you will be compelled to sleep here, because unable to stand on your legs."
"Aye,"
said Caderousse, rising with all the offended dignity of a drunken man.
"I can't keep on my legs. Why, I'll bet a wager I go up into the belfry of the Accoule, and without staggering too."
"Well done," said Danglars. "I'll take your bet. But tomorrow. Today it is time to return. Give me your arm and let us go."
"Very well. Let us go," said Caderousse, "but I don't want your arm at all. Come, Fernand, won't you return to Marseille with us?"
"No," said Fernand. "I shall return to the Catalans."
"You're wrong. Come with us to Marseille. Come along."
"I will not."
"What do you mean you will not? Well, just as you like, my prince, there's liberty for all the world. Come along, Danglars, and let the young gentleman return to the Catalans if he chooses."
Danglars took advantage of Caderousse's temper at the moment to take him off towards Marseille by the Porte Saint-Victor, staggering as he went. When they had advanced about 20 yards, Danglars looked back and saw Fernand stoop, pick up the crumpled paper, and putting it into his pocket, then rush out of the arbour towards Pion.
"Well," said Caderousse, "why, what a lie he told. He said he was going to the Catalans. And he is going to the city. Hola, Fernand!"
"Oh, you see wrong," said Danglars. "He's gone right enough."
"Well," said Caderousse, "I should have said not. How treacherous wine is!"
"Come, come," said Danglars to himself. "Now the thing is at work, and it will effect its purpose unassisted."